Hey, this morning we have a guest joining us here on our program. Leon Brewer is with us this morning from up at New Hope, Minnesota. Made a trip here this weekend down to Atlantic for a special presentation. He's got an old fire truck that used to belong to Atlantic and will again. Leon, thanks for coming down. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I know the folks at the Atlantic Volunteer Fire Department appreciate it very much, too. I want to talk a little bit about that fire truck, but first a little about you. You were involved in firefighting.
Yeah, I was in this New Hope, which is a suburb of Minneapolis. I don't know just how many years ago, but it's not that old. It probably sometime in the, I guess maybe in the late 40s, maybe in the 50s when it was organized. I moved there, or I said we moved there in 1957. And, oh, a few years later, we organized a fire department. And I was one, so I'm a charter member of the New Hope Fire Department.
Oh, excellent. So that's where the interest comes in yes. having these pieces of equipment. This 1936 Mack that you are giving back to the Atlantic Fire Department, that's not the only one, not the first one that you've collected?
No, I had one before that I had for a while, and I've sold that since.
I know you've got some friends who are in this business, as well. I guess you call it a business, that have this hobby, this interest as well. Yeah. You've got a pretty tight-knit group of folks that do this type of thing?
I would say so, yeah. The organization is, I think, last count I heard, is about 3,500 members, and they're all over the country. Actually, it isn't just a national organization, it's an international. We've got people, quite a few people from Canada, and there's at least one in Holland. I think it's more than none, but some in Netherlands.
Sure. Did anybody ever scratch their head and say, why don't you take up golf or something or bowling? I mean, you know, it's a lot easier to do, a lot less expensive to do that than to collect these types of things.
Well, I think you're right. I don't remember anybody has saying it, but I think there's a lot of them have thought it.
Well, it's a labor of love because it's not an easy thing, and it's certainly not an inexpensive hobby to have.
Right.
I want to talk about this 1936 Mack that used to be with the department here and is now coming back here. How did you acquire that in the first place?
Well, I had a friend in Minneapolis that was even more of a collector than I was, and he saw it advertised. I'm not sure, but I think he picked up, there's a monthly magazine, or actually a book from Harris, a museum, car museum. And they used to, and I don't know if they still do, but put out a monthly, almost like a catalog. And my friend had looked at, I think he bought one every month, and I think that's where he found it. There were three here in Atlantic that were advertised in there, and that's why we got interested in it. There was a 1920 American LaFrance, a 1936 Mack, that's the one I had, and a 1947 Seagrave. And I don't know why they decided to sell them. This was in 1994, and they decided to sell all three of those. My friend had asked me to come down here and take a look at them. Guess he trusted my judgment. I hope it was worth it. And so I did, and I came down here and looked at them. And on my recommendation, he bid on all three of them, but he just was a high bidder on the Mack and the Seagrave. So that's how it came to it. Then unfortunately, it was the same month, a year later, he died very suddenly. And 5 or 6 months after that, I bought this Mack from his sons. They were getting rid of the estate. When he died, he had 13 pieces of fire apparatus.
Wow.
That's somewhat small collection, but for people around our area, that's a fairly good size collection. So that's how I got interested I bought the thing. That's how I should say.
You need a little more room than just the garage out back to house a lot of this stuff.
Well, luckily I'd built a three-stall garage on the back of my lot, so I had a spot to put it. We both agree on not storing a fire engine outside. They go downhill very fast when they're stored out in the weather.
I'm sure they do.
And so I had a place to put it. It never sat out. Well, after it left here, it never sat out overnight.
What kind of shape was it in when you acquired it?
Very good shape. And basically, it's the same thing now. I didn't do much to it. Oh, I did a little tinkering here and, like change the oil and grease things and... Oh, one thing I did was adjust the brakes. They were fair when I got it, but not. I'm used to driving cars with hydraulic brakes, and these are mechanical brakes on that. That might not mean much to you, but that's what cars had in that era. And it would stop, but not quite like it should. So I got underneath it quite a few different times and looked at the mechanics of it, figured out what it would take to adjust them. And so with the help of another friend, sometimes we needed four hands instead of one, and between the two of us, we adjusted those brakes. Now it'll stop as good as hydraulic brakes. I'm not exaggerating. It will really stop now.
Stopping is good.
Very good.
Stopping is good.
Right.
Well, it's difficult to keep these things sometimes in working condition. Sometimes you have to kind of have them, but the parts machined, especially for some of these projects.
Yeah, there's things like that. However, there was nothing I had to have put on there that I didn't have. Well, back up a little bit. It didn't have rear view mirrors when I got it. Well, I'm very uncomfortable driving any vehicle that doesn't have a rear view mirror. So I made the brackets. I taught machine shop before I retired, and I had access to machine tools even after I retired. And so I made the brackets on there and bought the mirrors, and that was a big help. It didn't have any horn. It had a siren, of course, but it didn't have a horn. Well, I like to have a horn because I don't want to use a siren. Uh-huh. I could get in trouble using the siren very much. So I bought some from a salvage yard and made a bracket and mounted them on there.
I guess that's another thing. Siren, lights, they all work.
Well, you're partly right. It doesn't have any lights.
No lights, really.
Well, the only warning lights, there's two little, about 3-inch diameter lights on the cowl. That was the only light. It did have a siren, a good song, strong siren. But in those days, not everybody had lights. So.
They weren't blaring the radio so loud that they couldn't hear the fire truck coming
right.
Anyway.
Right, yeah.
Very good. Explain to folks how different this is to operate this 1936 Mack as opposed to what young people are used to today, just hopping in that automatic everything car and driving around.
Well, that's the whole thing. They know how to do it. I wouldn't begin. If I was still on the fire department, they probably would kick me off because I don't know anything about them. They're so different. And there's no doubt about it. They're a lot better equipment than in those days. But for us old people, the aesthetics of an old one like it are much better than the newer ones. Now, they've got some beautiful equipment here at Atlantic, and it's real good. But again, the aesthetics of it, how it looks, doesn't compare with what they did in 1936.
Yeah.
There'd be people that would take exception to that, I'm sure, but that's the way I feel about it.
Well, and you took this out on the road a few times, this Mack?
Well, not very far. Driving to this muster there, It was about 25 miles from my house out there, and I took it down there. That's the farthest I ever did it. To go down the lakes that I was mentioning, it was about 12 miles down there, but just on residential streets or parkways. So I never did go very far with it.
Now, do you still have some other pieces?
No, the other one I had I sold to a friend. It had a little problem with the motor, which we won't get into. And so this friend bought it, knowing what it was.
Sure.
And the only thing I can say is that he's got it stored in a shed over in Wisconsin. So it's out of the weather, and it's not running. And my concern was, what if I die, and what are my kids going to do with it? They probably would junk it because to them, it's nothing more than junk. And without a good operating motor, it can't be used for anything. So I was glad to sell it to him, or practically give it to him, so it's not scrapped.
What about donating this one back here to the Atlantic Department? How did that come about?
Well, I was ready to get rid of it. Well, I'm never ready to get rid of it, but I decided it was a good time to. And so made contact with them, and let me back up. I had offered it to a friend, and at the time I called him to see if he was ready to take it, and he wasn't available. He wanted it, but he didn't have a place to store it. So rather than storing it outside, he suggested bring it back here because he knew the history of it, the fact that it had come from here. I thought, well, that's a good idea too. And so I contacted I guess I had been in contact with John Johnson by email, and I think I sent him an email, and then he talked to Chief Mark, and they were excited to have it back, and I decided, well, that's a good idea. So I decided to donate it back there. And I feel good about that. I feel, because they bought it new in 1936. And I feel good that it's going to be back there. It's where it went first when it was new. Now it's back there where it's, we hope it doesn't end up there. Yeah. Not soon anyway. But
well, and you feel confident that it's going to be well taken care
yes,
of.
Yes, I'm quite sure of it. Talking to both John and Mark, I'm very sure that it's going to be, have very good care there.
Sure. Leon, let me ask you, why is it important to keep these pieces viable, to keep these things running, to keep them out there in front of people? Why is that so important?
Well, from my standpoint, I think it's because of the history, and that's what I understand. Mark and John both are very interested in the history of the Atlantic Fire Department. And, of course, this is part of the history. And that's the way I look at it, too. It's part of history of whatever fire department that had it, particularly if they had it new. And that's what this one is.
Absolutely. Well, I know they appreciate very much your generosity, and the folks in the community will see it very soon. They'll have an opportunity to see it in parades and what have you at different opportunities here. So, yeah, kind of neat to be able to go back a little bit. I believe, was it next year, the 2018, 2019, is the 150th birthday of the community, too. So,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of history that's being dredged up right now. So
they told me about that. I don't remember the exact dates, but they told me that when I was here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so it's an interesting time to bring some of that history back into the fold.
Now, if it would happen that they would call me and ask me to come down and drive it in the parade, I would gladly drive 300 miles to do that. It's 300 miles from my place down here.
There you go. He threw it out there. He cast the line. Now we'll see if he can get a hook.
Yeah.
Huh? All right. Leon, thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate you stopping by the studios here when you're in town and visiting with us. And best to you. Hope you have a great trip back home, and hope you enjoy, keeping in touch with some of these folks.
Right. I do. That's a big thing. Well, like I said, I had this. After Roger died and I bought it from his son, I had it for 21 years. And it's a big thing in my life for 21 years. I've had a lot of fun with it. I'm kind of sad about getting rid of it, but I've got a lot of very good memories of the 21 years that I owned it. So it's good.
A good 21 years.
Yeah.
You bet.